The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Andy Borowitz is a very frequent contributor to The New Yorker and, in my biased opinion, one of the best political satirists working today. His headlines in the Borowitz Report are outlandish, and yet his articles are so true on the details that they've occasionally been mistaken for real news. Andy's also a connoisseur of satire, and one of his favorites is the classic Christopher Guest film, This is Spinal Tap, the mockumentary about a second-tier or possibly 14th-tier heavy metal band. Here's Andy Borowitz, who's got something very special in store for us.
On the periodic chart of metal, one band is heavier than the rest. Its atomic weight is 11. Its name is Spinal Tap. Led by singer David St. Hubbins and guitarist Nigel Tufnel, Spinal Tap made music history with their seminal 1984 rockumentary, This Is Spinal Tap. But it was their bassist, Derek Smalls, who left an unremovable mark with his tasty licks on Tap's majestic hit, Big Bottom. The bigger the cushion, the sweeter the portion. That's what I said. Flash forward 34 years. Whatever happened to Derek Smalls? Is he still alive? And more importantly, can he still rock? Well, Derek Smalls answers those questions and some others that no one has asked. On his first ever solo album, Smalls Change, Meditations Upon Aging. Derek Smalls, welcome to the New Yorker Radio Hour.
Oh, thank you so much.
And you look fantastic. You look alive to me. And I'm not a doctor, but you look good.
Well, I feel good. I had a little incident, which is why my chops, my facial hair is not what it used to be. But
what was the incident? Tell me.
I was a friend of mine. It's an old friend, Eddie Dregs. He's moved to Scunthorpe, England, late summer, early autumn. These strange gusts of wind will sometimes whip up in the countryside. Mm-hmm. I mean, Scunthorpe's not, you know, it's not London. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was walking down the street and see this little cat, sweet little, you know, tiny little cat, and all of a sudden one of these gusts whips up and whips the cat right into my face.
Oh my gosh.
And poor thing, you know, claws come out, and I went to the NHS and they said, we'll be shaving you now, mate.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the cat didn't know what hit him, especially when I hit him.
Right. Oh, that's terrible. Yeah. But you're rallying now. You're feeling
it's you're growing back. Better. It's growing back.
It's growing back. Yeah. Good. Derek, this is
not the cat.
Not the cat.
No,
of course
the cat's not.
Not
growing back.
Cats never will. I did a little bit of research.
Uh-oh.
Before I
know where you're going with this question.
Well, it's an uncomfortable question.
It is.
But I have to bring it up, and I don't mean to.
Do you know what makes it doubly uncomfortable?
What?
Well, you want to tell people what the question is first. I mean, I know where you're going, but they might not.
Well, the question is, in preparation, as a journalist, when I sit down to interview somebody, the first thing I do is I Google them and I go to their Wikipedia page to learn as much as possible
about
them.
You're damn good.
It's called just shoe leather journalism. Mm-hmm. It's what I do. And I Googled Spinal Tap and found that Spinal Tap somehow is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Keyword, somehow.
Somehow. How could that be? I mean, are you dumbfounded, flabbergasted? Is it politics? Is the fix out? What is the deal?
I was dumbfounded for a long time, mm-hmm. and then I did some thinking and research, and I became smart-founded.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what they sell in the gift shop at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? A T-shirt that says, Hello, Cleveland.
Oh, my God.
First door you sign, authorized, personnel only.
Yeah.
Open that door. That's the stage.
You think so?
You authorize. You're bringing musicians, aren't you?
Yeah. All right, thank you. Thank you very much. Rock and roll.
Rock and roll!
Let's get it! Let's get it!
something's up.
Mm.
There's a cover-up going on,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know what it is.
Who do you think could be behind that?
I don't want to name names.
Mm-hmm.
These people have been named already mm-hmm. by their parents,
mm-hmm.
but somewhere in the management of that so-called Hall of Fame, so-called Hall of so-called fame, that's all I can say.
Have you, at this point, are you sort of...
I could say it again, but I don't like to repeat myself.
You don't like to repeat yourself. Are you sort of, you and the other guys in the band sort of sawed off, we don't care, you know, this is, are you, or does it still hurt on some level?
Every time I see that they're selling a T-shirt that says "Adam Cleveland in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,"
right.
It hurts, mate.
It hurts, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. And you don't get a piece of that.
I don't get a piece of the shirt.
No,
a piece of the shirt wouldn't be much.
It would be worthless, probably.
I mean, what? A
you
sleeve?
Need an entire shirt.
You need an entire shirt.
Yeah. It's
now
true.
You're editorializing again.
A little bit, because yeah. I'm expressing my opinion about what's important in a shirt.
Yeah.
And the whole thing. You not everybody feels that way.
Both sleeves and the neck, please.
Right.
At the very least.
At the very least. This is a question I think a lot of Spinal Tap fans, and I count myself as a huge one.
Thank you. You're what, 6'3"?
About 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah, you are huge.
I'm on the big side.
Yeah.
You know, you're one-third of what's been called the loudest band in rock and roll.
I think we were the ones who called us that.
You called yourselves that.
Yeah.
Given that you have that kind of a massive success and that sort of a legacy, what inspired you to step out and record a solo album?
2009, we played Glastonbury Festival in England.
That's a big gig.
130,000 people.
Wow.
Staring at us, wondering. And then we played Wembley Arena, sold it out in London, same week. And I'm thinking, great, here we go. And I go home and, you know, wait for the call. And the telephone doesn't ring.
Mm-hmm. Was the phone working?
I ran in the phone company. That's okay. Exactly what I did. Mm-hmm. You think like I do. And they said, it's not us, mate. And I realized, great, here we are again. Here we are not again.
Right.
Literally. And so I thought, this is not how it ends for Derek.
Mm-mm.
So
maybe this is how it begins.
Interesting. Yeah, nice. And so I applied. There's a group in England, semi-official, called, I'm wearing their T-shirt, the British Fund for Aging Rockers.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
They take the money that was saved in austerity and use it to give grants to aging rockers, mm-hmm. hence the name. And I applied, and they said, what's your idea? And I said, my idea is that you give me money and I make a record. And they said, no, what's your idea?
Mm-hmm.
So then I had to do some thinking. And I thought, well, they say write about what you know. What do I know? I know I'm getting older.
Mm-hmm.
I'll write about that.
Interesting.
And so that's what the record is.
Meditations upon aging.
Aging, yeah.
You know, you make a good point. Roger Daltrey famously sang,
Hope I die before I get old.
Where do you stand on dying versus getting old? Have you given this a lot of thought? Do you come down on one side or the other?
I think you have to get old before you die.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the way nature works.
You wouldn't do it the other way around.
I would not do it the other mm-hmm. way around. I think it's too much trouble. It's way too much. Too much arrangements have to be made.
So you make this application to mm-hmm. the British Fund for Aging Rockers. And you have the money to make the album.
Yes.
Now, your band, Spinal Tap, is behind some really iconic rock songs like Hellhole mm-hmm. and Sex Farm.
Mm-hmm.
Was that
Stonehenge?
Stonehenge, of course.
Yeah.
Was that something of a burden of the past that you had to deal with as you were sitting down to write this album?
I didn't want to repeat myself.
No, never.
The worst thing you can do is repeat yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That was one thing I did not want to do is repeat myself. So I thought, let's take advantage of this by expanding the palette.
Right.
The musical palette. So Tap was always a rock band, a loud guitar-driven rock band. Let's get a symphony orchestra involved.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get other kinds of different musical colors to paint with.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that. Fire alarm?
I think so. Let's wait for that. Is it a real fire?
Oh, this would be history in the making. We were interviewing Derek when the building burnt down.
I'm just going to quickly make sure that the building's not on fire.
Okay. If it is on fire, are there some more different questions you want me to ask?
Like, should we talk faster? How do we faster, get faster talk
how do
faster.
We get, how do we talk faster?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I wanted to get, I thought I'll get a broader musical palette, get a symphony orchestra, get other colors that, to paint with. There's a song called Memo to Willie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Willie, I don't know if you're familiar with British slang. But
I am, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you'll tell people what the Willie is then.
Right. It's an important part of the anatomy, isn't it? Isn't that how you describe
it? It's the distinguished member from down below.
Exactly.
And I would come to this country, and I would watch the telly, and I'd see these adverts. Nice-looking bloke, late 30s, maybe early 40s. He's got a piece of crumpet with him. And they're out in a rowboat on the lake, or they're strolling down a path in the city, or they're having a good time. It looks like they're about to get it on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the voice, scary voice, comes on. When the time is right, will he be ready? And I'm thinking, is this an epidemic that I've missed? And it's, it's for these pills.
Right, of course.
And I'm thinking, we don't have this in Britain.
This doesn't happen. The problem doesn't happen, or
I don't
remedy
know.
Or the remedy doesn't happen.
They don't talk about it.
It's not
on the telly all every night. So I just thought, it's not my problem. I make that clear.
Of course not.
Yeah. But here's what you need. Give him a good stern talking to.
Let's listen to a little bit of Memo to Willie. Now, you mentioned that you don't want to repeat yourself in your music, and you want to...
Want to repeat myself.
You never want to repeat yourself. And this album is full of new sounds. But there are also some, I would say, some thematic lines that you could draw from, say, Spinal Tap to Derek Small's solo artiste, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I was interested in sort of tracing sort of a thematic line from a song like Big Bottom, which was a big hit for you back in the Tap days, to Butt Call.
You're driving your car. You're walking across the square. Your mobile rings, and there's no
Can you describe how you sort of made the journey from Big Bottom to Butt Call?
You know, when I was a kid, my dad was in the telephone business. He
worked for the telephone company?
No. He had his own company. Well, it wasn't a company. I mean, he was the company, but he had his own van, and he would go about sanitizing telephones, proper telephone handsets, what we used to have. People were concerned about germs. And he made a nice living at it. And now, we've got these little phones, which are germier than anything. I mean, if my dad were alive, he'd have invented a phone sanitizing app.
Of course.
And he'd be,
on the phone itself.
Fabulously wealthy.
Yeah.
But, here's this thing that people, ring you up and they're not even calling you. And it's a butt call.
Right.
So it was not about, let's do another song about butts.
No.
It was going from a whole other place.
That's how with a lot of your music, on first glance, it might seem
simple-minded.
Shallow, but then when you dig deeper, it's less shallow.
It's always less shallow when you dig deep.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting. This is, this is maybe pie in the sky, just fantasy or dreaming big. Mm-hmm. But do you think there's a chance that you might be inducted as a solo artiste in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame now that you've broken out with your own album?
I don't know. To tell you the honest truth, Andy, is it Andy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have to die first.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
Which is not my intent.
No. No, you've been very clear about that.
Yeah, rather be alive than in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right. Well, that's fair. And it's your choice.
It's a choice.
It's your choice. Let me ask, before we move on to something else, because I realize I've touched on a very painful topic, and you're handling it very manfully.
Thank you.
If you could remove anybody from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and take their place, who would that be?
Peter Frampton.
Derek Smalls, thank you so much.
Thank you, Andy.
Derek Smalls of Spinal Tap, as played by the great actor and comedian Harry Shearer. Derek Smalls is fictional, but his solo album is real. You might want to ponder that if you're philosophical. It's called Smalls Change, Meditations Upon Aging. You can read Andy Borowitz at newyorker.com.